कांचनगौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिया। टुगेदर प्लीज। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी
राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिया।
I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. By the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada and our most benevolent, beloved previous acharyas, and by the source of all mercy, Sri Radharani, we have come today to Barasana, the eternal home of the reservoir of all compassion, the ever-existing consort of Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani. The science of spirituality was discussed from the most fundamental principles to the essence of all perfections by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Rai on the banks of Godavari in Kavur. Ramananda Rai systematically established step by step the ultimate perfection of life and how to achieve it. His conclusion was that the love between Sri Shivata and Krishna is the topmost manifestation of spiritual ecstasy. And to somehow or other be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are assisting those loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda is the highest ecstatic platform that the soul can achieve. But this perfection cannot be attained by any endeavors of tapasya, or sadhana, or bhajan, or charity. It can only come when by the sweet will of Srimati Radharani she bestows her grace upon us. On the path of bhakti in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and later Sri Rupa Goswami and our acharyas, they have taught us this most secret of all truths. If we please the servants of Sri Radharani, then she, who is the mother of all compassion, can shower upon us the ecstatic love
of Vrindavan.
There is no other way. And for that reason, the residents of Vrindavan, they are always calling upon the mercy of Srimati Radharani. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are calling upon the mercy of Radha and Krishna. We are begging helplessly, hopelessly, for the mercy of the Lord and His consort. The Yuga Dharma is to chant without offense in a sincere and humble state of mind, with a genuine desire to please and serve the Lord and His devotees. One time, according to Padma Purana, Lord Brahma performed tapasya and prayed with great and pure devotion to assist the Lord's pastimes when He descends in this world. He especially wanted to insist in such a way that he could take such a humble position that the Lord and His devotees' feet were always traversing upon His head. This is the glory of Vrindavan. In this material universe, Lord Brahma is in the highest position. In order to attain the state of Lord Brahma, one has to perfectly follow the Varnashram system without any deviation for thousands upon thousands of births. Lord Brahma is the father of all living beings within this entire universe. He lives 311 trillion years. His abode, Brahmaloka, is above any of the difficulties that may come anywhere else in the universe. We never find Hiranyakashipu, Ravana. They can conquer up to Indraloka, but they cannot even approach Brahmaloka. He's not only the father of all living beings, but He's the guru of our whole universe. His consort is Saraswati, the goddess of all wisdom, poetry, learning. What is the exalted position of Brahma? We cannot fathom with our earthly brains. However, this land of Brajbhumi that we are now restlessly falling asleep in, Lord Brahma is performing tapasya with tears flowing from His eight eyes. He is begging for the opportunity to have a service where the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, Lord Shamsundar, and all of their servants and maidservants may always be upon His head. Brahma ultimately doesn't like to be in Brahmaloka, ruling the universe. He wants to be the servant of the servant of the servant, the menial servant of Sri Radha and Krishna. And to Him, all the wealth of His abode is not equal to one speck of dust from one of the servants of Srimati Radharani, from their lotus feet. so to fulfill his desire, Brahma was given the benediction that he could become the mountain within Barasana. There are four peaks to this mountain, which are the four heads of Lord Brahma. His desire was fulfilled. And it is always being fulfilled. The Lord's devotees to this very day are constantly traversing upon the heads of Lord Brahma. When we came up to Shriji Mandir, we saw this little temple of Lord Brahma. He's welcoming us. He's thanking us for coming. He's simultaneously giving his blessings to all devotees. Go and have the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radharani. Srimati Radharani was born in Mukhyaravali, which is today known as Raval, on the day that we celebrate Radhastami. Originally, Maharaj Brishabhanu and Kirtida Mai, their residence was in Barasana. However, they had no children. Simultaneously, Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda Mai were living just across the valley in Nandagaon, and they also had no children. So both communities of cowherd men and cowherd girls moved closer to the river Jamuna. Nanda Maharaj moved to Gokul Mahavan, and Brishabhanu Maharaj moved to Mukhyaravali. By the loving prayers of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, Gopal became their son. And very soon after, Srimati Radharani appeared within this world. When she appeared on that beautiful lotus flower in the river Jamuna, she would not open her eyes. Her father thought that she was blind. She also would not make a single sound and did not respond to any sound. It appeared she was blind, deaf, and dumb. Although she was all attractive with her beautiful complexion of molten gold, Srimati Radharani descended from Goloka Vrindavan, and her heart's exclusive purpose is only for the pleasure of Krishna. Narada Muni came to that place when he saw this little bitty child. He offered his most prostrate obeisances and worship to her, knowing her to be the supreme goddess of fortune. Soon, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and Krishna came to Raval. And Krishna crawled over to the swing that Srimati Radharani was laying upon. And he climbed up and touched her. And when his beautiful moonlight face was just in front of her, she opened her elegant lotus-like eyes. She did not want to see anything except Krishna. She smiled and she cried in transcendental happiness. Later on, due to so many disturbances in Gokul, like Putana, Trinavarta, the falling of the twin Arjuna trees, Nanda Maharaj gradually moved back to Nandagaon, and Vrishabhanu Maharaj moved back to Barasana. Barasanagram, also called Vrishabhanupur, is the eternal playground of Srimati Radharani, the Sakis, the Manjaris, and Sri Krishna, the Sakas and the Gopas. It is here that innumerable pastimes take place. This particular deity, known as Ladalilal, was originally established by Vajranava approximately 5,000 years ago and lost like so many of the deities. But one very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of the name Narayan Bhat Goswami, he discovered the deities just close by and installed them here. Bhakti is the ultimate attainment. All bhakti in every living entity is part and parcel of the supreme devotion of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna, although he is the controller of all controllers, it is his eternal pleasure to be controlled by the love of his devotee. Why Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotee? Because that love is ultimately emanating from Srimati Radharani. It is explained in our Vaishnava Sastras how Krishna is conquered by the love of Srimati Radharani. It is explained in our Vaishnava Sastras how Krishna is conquered by the love of Srimati Radharani. When he sees her love for him, he becomes extraordinarily astonished. In fact, Krishna himself, although he is the knower of everything, past, present, and future, even he admits he cannot fathom the love of his eternal Ladini Shakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami quotes Lord Krishna. He's thinking that when two bamboos rub against each other in the forest, that sound that it makes reminds Srimati Radharani of the sound of my flute. And she becomes so unlimitedly intoxicated in ecstatic love that she sees a tamal tree. Due to the dark color of that tree, she embraces that tree, weeping and crying, thinking that it is me. When the fragrance of my body blows in the breeze, Srimati Radharani, she becomes so beside herself in divine love, so mad that she tries to fly into the breeze, to become one with the breeze. And Krishna explains that at the very sight or thought of Srimati Radharani. His flute falls from his hands, his crown falls from his head, and he does not even know. These are the transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan. Therefore, the six Goswamis taught us, don't try to serve Krishna directly. What pleasure can we give to Krishna? But just try to please and assist that person who is giving ultimate pleasure to Krishna. And that is Sri Radharani. There is only one means of receiving the mercy of Sri Radharani. And that is by receiving the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle. Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of Gopis. That is our perfection. Humility is the natural condition of a soul who has awakened real knowledge. When we are in ignorance, we do not understand what our constitutional position is. Due to the false ego, we are thinking that I am the doer, that I am great, that I am spiritually advanced. But when we understand what is the secret of Varasana, that love of God is Radharani's property. And when through her servants she gives it to us, then we can also experience it. No doubt it is dormant in our heart, but we have no power to awaken it. And when we realize how powerless we are, we can chant billions of names of the Lord. We can give up all sleeping. We can give up all eating. Vishwamitra Muni did all of this. But through the process, he got no devotion. He only got power. Vishwamitra Muni, through his tapasya, no eating, no sleeping, torturing his body, fixing his mind in such intensely deep meditation, his mind did not waver from the focus of his meditation even for a moment. Can anyone do that? He got such powers that by his own will he could create an entire universe. He could create a planet. Not universe, a planet. When he wanted to have a child, didn't want to have sex, he just had it grow from a tree. That's power. But yet, when Menaka tinkled her bells, he was overpowered. That is the power of Cupid. Ultimately, we are all powerless before material energy. But through all the powers that he had, he could gain no devotion until he humbled himself and surrendered with humility. Power does not attract Krishna. There are people in this world that are causes of envy. They have great riches, influence,
political positions, money, physical strength. But those powers do not in any way, shape, or form impress the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has that humility, one who has the sincere desire to just be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radha, that devotion conquers Krishna. Krishna has the power to conquer tens and millions of Cupids. But one sidelong glance from the lotus eye of Srimati Radharani puts Krishna totally under her control. So this is the real perfection of our life. To get the grace of Srimati Radharani. And that grace can come when we follow the principles that Srimati Radharani personally taught us. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna trying to explore and discover what is this ecstasy that Radharani has when she sees me. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the complexion and the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. But as Yugavatar, once in a day of Brahma, Srimati Radharani, through Mahaprabhu, is distributing her love profusely in this world of envy and illusion to those who chant the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And Mahaprabhu, he taught us how to chant the holy names. We speak this verse often because it must be spoken. Until we take this particular sloka as the most serious thing in life, we are not receptive to the mercy of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This verse is spoken by Lord Chaitanya. In other words, it's Srimati Radharani teaching us how we can get her mercy. Srimadapi sunichena,
Srimadapi
sehishnuna, Amanina manadena kirtaniyasa. To be more humble than a blade of grass. Think about that. What an extraordinary concept. This material world, everyone is trying to become great. Everyone is competing to outdo another, both in materialistic as well as in spiritualistic societies. It's a trap of Maya. We have come to the Krishna consciousness movement, but still this propensity to compete. Competition in a spirit of humility to inspire others to give better pleasure to Krishna is wonderful. However, when that competition is based on envy or egoistic ambition, we want to be recognized. We want to be appreciated. We want to overcome and outdo others in our fields. This is the basic principle of material existence. Maituna Agara. That means that the basic principle of all material existence is this sex urge. We are shackled by it. And our acharyas explain, the subtle sex urge is profit, adoration, and distinction. More difficult to give up than the gross manifestation. Because sex means that you want to be the enjoyer. So in this world, everyone is fighting. We have just come from the city of Bombay. People are practically crawling on each other's heads to try to get a higher position. Do you think people leave such simple, nice villages as Brajbhumi to come to Bombay because they want anything else but material enjoyment? Struggling, striving, competing somehow or other. That is the whole world. And you go to college and they will teach you how to be a competitor in your field. How to be an enjoyer, how to become famous, how to get distinctions. And people are standing in line to get in those colleges by the tens and thousands. But Vaishnava philosophy, we are thinking, how possibly can I attain the position of being more insignificant and humble than a blade of grass? Hare Krishna. It's inconceivable. It's totally contrary to the material concept. But it is the only way of entering into Braj. There is no other way. No other way. No other way. Time is ticking. Death is coming. Our last moment is approaching rapidly. How have we earnestly prayed and struggled to take that position of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return? This means, in essence, what internally composes the consciousness of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And in that state of mind, only can we attract the heart of Krishna and Sri Radharani when we call out their holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
There are many beautiful pastimes that we will hear during this Braj Parikrama. The pastimes of Vrindavan our soul far above our ability to really appreciate. We may laugh and we may enjoy, and be doing so we're getting purified, no doubt. However, these pastimes are not meant simply to give some entertainment to our minds. They are meant to penetrate and awaken our soul. And that will only be to the extent we are able to chant the holy names in this spirit. Trinada Pisunichena, Tarora Pisa Hishnina, Amani Na Manadena Kirtaniya. Let us speak it again and again. Let us meditate, ponder upon it again and again. Let us struggle and strive and pray for it in our life and in all of our interrelationships with other Vaishnavas. This should be the principle that we are trying to achieve. Because through this, Krishna and Sri Radharani, through their names, through their pastimes, through the beautiful form and the deities, they will reciprocate and reveal the spiritual world to us. Why we see the deity and we do not faint? Why we chant the holy names and our eyes do not overflood with tears, our hairs do not stand on end, and our limbs do not tremble? It is because Krishna reciprocates according to that sincerity and humility of our heart, according to that actual selfless desire to serve. And it begins by serving the Vaishnavas. You cannot serve Guru without serving Vaishnavas, because that is Guru's order. Serve to please. Yesterday at Keshi Ghat we had that very sweet and beautiful ceremony for Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu. By his humble service, by his sincere eagerness to hear him chant, Srimati Radharani appeared within his heart at the time of his death. He was chanting her names and praying for her mercy. A living example of what we should strive to achieve. We may be big, big people in this world, but at the time of death, where will our soul be transported to? Punar Mushtaka Bhava. But if we're actually following in the footsteps of the truly great souls, then the dust of Srimati Radharani's feet will be upon our head. So while we are roaming through the beautiful forests and mountains of Sri Vrishabhanupur, let us be ever praying and begging for the mercy of Sri Radharani and her devotees. Let us pray that those feelings of genuine separation from Krishna, from the Vaishnavas, may awaken within our heart. Srila Prabhupada explained that
when a immature devotee thinks he has Krishna, he becomes proud. But when a devotee feels very far from Krishna, when a devotee feels separation from Krishna, it makes him unlimitedly humble. Therefore, this is the safe path, to cultivate feelings of separation. The six Goswamis, they taught us this spirit. Hey Radhe Brajadeva Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Shuno Kata. Where is Radharani? Where is Krishna? Where is Govardhan? Are they at Govardhan? Are they at Bamsiva? Are they on the banks of Jamuna? We should be aware of what we do not have. Bhakti. And we should be crying and praying for that in an ocean of humility. This is the perfection of chanting the holy name. So please let us meditate on this principle. Pray for this mercy while we are here in Sri Barasana Dham. Barasana is so beautiful, such an enchanting land, that just seeing and experiencing this, the divine landscape of Barasana, our hearts and our minds are naturally transported to the realm of devotion. By Srila Prabhupada's great kindness, he has brought us together to be here today. I thank all of you very much for coming for this yatra, and I pray that Sri Sri Radha Govindaji's causeless mercy showers and showers and showers upon all of you, and instills with you a deeper desire to serve in a spirit of real devotion. Lord Chaitanya taught that a great service, greatest service, is to share the mercy of the Lord with others. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan in the house of Srivas is none different than the Ras Leela of Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu has given us entrance into the Ras Leela whenever we dance together in the Kirtan of the Holy Name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
How you realize it is according to how offenseless and humble you are chanting. Thank you very much.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe.
Thank you.
Sankirtan procession to Sri Radha Krishna Bihari Mandir.
That I go, I'm supposed to be giving a lecture and speaking about Krishna consciousness. When I come here with Arana Swami and all the great and wonderful devotees under his shelter and the shelter of Shishi Radha Gopinath, I realize that when I come here, everyone else knows more than I do, and I just when His Holiness Radhana Swami asks me to speak, there's always this great fear that engulfs my entire being. Because everywhere that I go, I'm supposed to be giving a lecture and speaking about Krishna consciousness. When I come here with Radhana Swami and all the great and wonderful devotees under His shelter, and the shelter of Shishi Radha Gopinath, I realize that when I come here, everyone else knows more than I do, and I just want to stay here and listen. I find no desire to say anything when I'm in the company of Maharaj and all his wonderful devotees, and all the devotees who have taken shelter under Shishi Radha Gopinath. But he has asked me to say something. So Krishna and the grace of Srimati Radharani, I pray that I can say something to inspire my own self in devotional service. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pujarini Nirvishesha Srimadhari Vastya Priyadi Satayi. When Srila Prabhupada first arrived in America, and he wrote one beautiful song, poem that was later made into a beautiful song, in which he writes one beautiful part of that song, that when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased upon you, then your success in devotional service has been achieved. Srila Prabhupada also explains that as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining this a few minutes ago, how we can approach Krishna directly. And sometimes a living entity will try to petition Krishna, pray to Krishna. And Krishna is sometimes not so much impressed. But if Radharani says, "This person is very nice, please, Lord, show him your mercy," then Krishna can't refuse. Krishna is bound by the love of Srimati Radharani. No one can please Krishna like Radharani can please Krishna. And therefore, we always seek the blessings of Radharani. Of course, to get the blessings of Radharani means to get the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to get the blessings and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means to get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. And to get the blessings of Lord Nityananda means to get the blessings of our spiritual master and, of course, the previous acharyas. And to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, that of course opens the door to all other blessings. So we have an opportunity to come to the holy dham and associate with the great devotees in the spirit of surrender and devotion, and in a mood of service, in a mood of devotion, to enthusiastically chant the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And take every opportunity that is possible to render service to the Vaishnavas. Whatever I know in Krishna consciousness, I hear from Srila Prabhupada and also from Naranath Maharaj, and his constant mood of devotion is always seva, or service to the Vaishnavas. When the Vaishnavas are pleased, and then Krishna is pleased. And that is the key in devotional service. So my humble prayer is to somehow or other take shelter of the devotees here and get an opportunity for devotional service. This month also is a very special month. It's the month of Damodar, the month of Kartik. It is the month actually of, it is explained that Krishna is none different than the month of November, December, Magha Shirsha. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. And Srimati Radharani is none different than the month of Kartik. She's called Ujeshwari. And we approach Krishna through Radharani. So this month is very special. It's none different than Srimati Radharani. And of course, we have heard many times that any devotional service performed during this month, especially in the Holy Dham, is emphasized thousands and thousands of times. So we've all come here to take shelter of the Dham and get an opportunity to increase our devotional service and our chance to serve the devotees, to take Krishna prasadam, to chant the holy names. And of course, after some time, we'll be going back to our different places to engage in our regular devotional service throughout the years. So it's like stocking up for the future in order to become more enthusiastic and more surrendered in our devotional service. This month also, being the month of Damodar, is a very special month. It is the month where Krishna allows himself to be tied up by the love of his devotee, Mother Yasoda. It is said that fear personified cannot catch Krishna. There's one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, the wind blows out of fear of me, fire burns out of fear of me, death takes its toll out of fear of me. And yet, maybe Krishna is afraid of his mother when she comes after him with a stick to bind him because of his naughty activities. What is that fear that the Lord is exhibiting? It is the fear that he's showing the glory of the love of his mother, that he is so much controlled by her love that he is responding to that love by acting in a way that he knows that he has done something wrong. Of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever he does is perfect. But in that mood of a little child and being chased by his mother, he exhibits this love, this reciprocation for his mother's love in such a way that attracts the minds and the hearts of all the devotees. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the all-pervading aspect within the total creation, is bound, is being running from his mother's whipping stick. So this is a very, very beautiful month. It is a month of how the Lord becomes subservient to the love of his devotees. There's one statement in the scriptures where one devotee is glorifying the Lord for his many wonderful activities. And the Lord says, I don't know why I am so wonderful. Why do people always glorify me in so many wonderful ways? But then he says, I know why. actually, the reason why I'm so wonderful is because I'm the servant of my devotees. This is my glory, actually. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually becomes pleased to actually reciprocate the love of his devotees. More so than hearing the glories of the great sages and the saints when they glorify him, he's not so much impressed by that, nor in the mood of devotion, of opulence and reverence. But when he serves his devotees, he is most pleased. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas from Keshava Bharti, from Ishwarapuri, and he returned in the association of all his devotees, he was folding the clothes of the devotees. He was arranging for their prasadam personally. He was acting as the humble servant of his devotees. This is the most amazing thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can act in that in such a way as to experience the most joy when he gives pleasure to his devotees. When he serves his devotees as someone who is subordinate to his devotee. Just recently I was listening to a story by Srila Prabhupada. He was narrating that one pastime when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India. He came to one temple and there was one Brahmin there. And this Brahmin, he was a very simple, very poor, but very devotional personality. And he had been given the instructions by his spiritual master to every day read Bhagavad Gita. So he would sit there and he would, in fact, sometimes he would hold the book upside down. He didn't even know which way to hold the book. He couldn't read it all. And all the other devotees around him, they would say, Brahman, what are you doing? You cannot read. And they would laugh at him and they would sometimes criticize him in a very light way. But he would continue every day reading or trying to read Bhagavad Gita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came by and he said, Brahman, what are you doing? He said, My Lord, every day I'm supposed to read Bhagavad Gita, but I have no ability to read. But the Lord said, I can see that there's tears in your eyes. How is that? He says, yes, but I see one picture here. When I see Krishna, he's driving the chariot for his devotee Arjuna, and then my heart becomes so overwhelmed with love. So this is Krishna. This is the special, special mercy. And that mercy of Krishna in his mood of service to becomes available through the mercy of Srimati Radharani. No one can please Krishna. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, but he is the attractor of Cupid. Everyone in this material world is attracted by the arrows of Cupid. Sometimes we find how amazing Cupid's arrows can actually affect the hearts of the conditioned souls. And sometimes we look around and we wonder how such attraction can develop in such living entities. And we look in such a way, is this possible? But this is the power of Cupid. So Krishna is called Madan Mohan, that he can actually attract the heart of Cupid, who is attracting every living entity. But Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini, and that she actually can attract Krishna, who is attracting everyone else. So we are here in Varsana Dham at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, praying for her mercy, praying that somehow or other we can do something to please her and to please her devotees. So I'm very, very fortunate to be here amongst all of you. In fact, I don't really know how fortunate I am. Every once in a while, Krishna reveals, and the devotees reveal to me how fortunate I am. And I thank you very much for allowing me to come and to be a part of this very, very wonderful yatra and all the wonderful devotees here. So please, if you have some service for me, if you allow me to do some service, I would be very, very grateful. And in that way I can somehow or other make some spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai.